One Man's Family, now in its 27th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. In 60 seconds, we'll hear Chapter 13, Book 131 of the Barber Family Saga. But first, hear this. How would you like to get a genuine Kennan kitchen towel without paying an extra penny for it? Well, it's easy. Just pick up a giant-sized box of Breeze all-purpose detergent. You see, inside every giant-sized Breeze, there's a lovely pastel-striped Kennan kitchen towel worth up to 25 cents, yours at no extra cost. What's more, Breeze is tops for everything you wash, from dungarees to nylon. So buy Breeze. Remember, every box of Breeze has a Kennan prize inside. Today, the danger of the middle years. Jack and Betty Barber, sunning themselves on an oversized blue air mattress beside the swimming pool at the Sky Ranch, have politely avoided a touchy subject because, until now, they've not been alone. But under the cabana, Hazel is now gathering her knitting.
Don't go, Hazel. Please don't.
No, I promised to make biscuits and a salad.
Well, couldn't I help?
Oh, you stay here with Jack. Well, Jack, are you awake?
Sure, fine.
You're so quiet.
He's mad at me, that's why.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I'll get right out of here double quick. Have fun, Kitty.
Oh, please call me if I can help. If I can do anything.
I will. Oh, hello, Jenny. We'll have dinner as soon as the folks get back. I think you drove your grandfather to the city.
Why did you say that?
I'm sorry. It just sort of popped out. I wish you'd read the article.
Which article?
You see, you don't listen.
Which article?
Divorce, the danger of the middle years.
I know the danger of the middle years.
Should be required reading for every couple who's been married as long as we have.
21 years, Betty.
If I go get it, will you read it now? Jack?
Yesterday, I heard of a fellow who never in his life had so much as a twinge of heart trouble. Well, sir, somebody persuaded him he should have an annual checkup. And while he was having his first and only cardiograph, he had a walloping heart attack, and that was it. The fact. Hank told me about it. The doctor wouldn't take a fortune for the cardiograph. Scientific exhibit of the century.
Will you tell me what that's got to do with the danger of the middle years?
It's the parallel. I don't see how it's going to help either one of us to read about the dangers of the middle years.
Why not?
It might point out something we hadn't even thought about. Then we'd get into an argument.
When have we had an argument?
What do you call this, Betty?
Jack, this is a temperate discussion. You've been grumpy ever since you got here, and the least you can do is tell me why. If you'd read the article, you'd know if there's something we've done that displeases you. All you have to do is pass a law, and we'll obey it.
Pass a law.
That's a cute part of the article. Well, if you're never going to read it, I'll tell you.
Good.
This woman's husband was absolutely head of the house, which all the psychologists say is the best for everybody. You know, to absolutely wear the pants, the way you do, Jack. The man should absolutely be the final authority of sort of domestic Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And they had a saying in their family, the author's family. Daddy has passed a law.
No. Oh.
That meant he'd made a decision, you see.
Yeah.
And everybody towed the mark, and they were happy. Kids don't like to have so many good years. Well, men get tired, and so... Well, then the women take over and begin to get bossy, and the next thing you know, everything's out of alignment, and the family starts going to pieces, and the wife spends an hour every Tuesday on the psychiatrist's couch.
What were we talking about before we got off into this?
I'm trying to find out what displeased you. I'm trying to make it clear you're absolutely head of the house, Jack. All you have to do is pass a law, and we'll salute all seven of us.
Displeased? What a word. Are you kidding me?
I'll tell you this. Even if a man is an iron-fisted autocrat, he ought to have a loyal reaction when his six daughters have been double-crossed.
Now where are we?
Did you see how the girls looked when they tried to tell you how Penny monopolized David? You weren't even interested.
Oh, that's it. No, now I see. Well, Betty, to tell you the truth, I can't think of any reason why Penny shouldn't monopolize David if they enjoy each other's company.
What?
You've lost perspective, honey.
Penny walked in here and snatched David. She humiliated Sharon.
Now, wait, hold on. Penny and David are contemporaries. The kids, Betty, they're kids. What's more, we're guests here. Penny isn't moving in or scooping him up. David's a guest, too, and Penny's his hostess. Where I sit, it looks like a romance with six jealous little girls glowering over the corral fence.
I never thought I'd live to see the day when you'd defend Penny.
I take you back to the Magna Carta. We will deny justice to none, nor delay it.
Excuse me. I'm going to the high dive and count 10 and jump in.
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family.
From around the world and across the nation, the newsboys in straight to the station.
Many times throughout the day,
we send it to you right away.
At the far end of the pool, Betty climbs the steps and disappears into the dressing room. The water splashes, recedes, and quiets down. Jack, rolling over on his back, contemplates the far-off cloud being reshaped by air currents in the upper reaches. And now he turns his head to watch the not-too-sprightly arrival of an elderly gentleman in a blue serge suit.
Is your mother here?
Yeah, up at Jones Cottage, Dad. Going and riding with Paul and Mrs. Blythe for Mom's babysitting. How are you? How'd it go in town?
Well, Father, it seems he tells me you had quite an adventure. You heard about his letter, Jack? The Brokers and Bankers Club are having their 50th anniversary.
It's bankers and brokers. Bankers precede. There was a debate over that 50 years ago. Bankers won out.
Yes. So Pinky drove him into San Francisco to see, who was it, Father? The president?
George Biggers, grandson of Harold Biggers. Yes, Harold and I were clerks in a brokerage office when we organized the club with some young bank tellers. There were 8 of us. I'm to represent the founders. I am the only one left.
Oh, now, Father.
The only one. The last leaf. The bough to which I cling.
What's that?
The poem your brother Clifford memorized when he was in high school. Driving home from the city, up out of the mist, those praises kept coming. Last leaf upon the bough.
Will you have to make a speech, Father?
Sure, you'll make a speech. You'll make a good one.
When is this celebration?
Another thing, they want me to have my portrait painted while I'm still around.
That's an unfortunate phrase.
It is indeed. I hadn't been in the club for almost 15 years, and there they are, the men I knew, all hanging from the wall.
But you're still here, Father, and you'll be around for a long, long time.
Thank you.
Hey, you remember about a year ago, Nicky and Claudia wanted to treat you to a portrait? Have it painted by Abel Warshawski?
Yes. Why don't you let Mr. Warshawski paint you now, Father? His studio's down in Monterey. That isn't too far.
Kindly do not speak to me as if I were an invalid.
Well, I'm sorry.
Whenever that portrait is mentioned, you get a trained nurse's tone of voice. Shall we have our portrait painted today? As if I wouldn't last till morning.
That's all in your imagination. If I had a chance to have a portrait by Warshawski, I'd go right now.
This is for the club. It's a memorial. They have engaged a Mr. John Fulton.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Yeah, let's not get emotional. Who was that? Who just passed by?
Why, it was Betty.
Didn't speak?
Oh, she's a little peeved right now, Dad.
At you?
Yeah.
Oh, what about?
Oh, I've been putting off reading an article called Divorce, The Danger of the Middle Years, and she thinks it would do me good.
Then read it. Let's have no trouble here between you and Betty. Read it at once.
More of the barbers in just a moment.
Hi. Have dinner in a minute.
I'm not very hungry.
Well, what's wrong with you? Do you feel all right?
Nothing's wrong. For goodness sakes, I feel fine.
You know, he says there's nothing wrong. But when a man acts like that, constipation may have him feeling below par. Well, that's the time to rely on gentle, modern Ex-Lax. Pleasant-tasting, chocolated Ex-Lax helps you toward your normal regularity gently, overnight, without upset, without discomfort. Because Ex-Lax works where nature wants, in the large intestine, not the stomach. The next morning, you're well on the way toward your normal regularity. Yes, rely on Ex-Lax, the modern family laxative. More families do, because Ex-Lax helps you toward your normal regularity gently, gently, overnight.
after midnight now. Father Barber and Betty, who couldn't sleep, encountered each other at the refrigerator. They're sitting at the round table in the keeping room. The old gentleman pulls his robe more tightly about him.
Yep. This is the virtue of a double bed, Betty. How can people remain angry when they keep bumping into each other all night?
You don't so when he's way over on his own side.
Yeah. I got up because I couldn't remember who had written a certain poem. I looked it up. It was Oliver Wendell Holmes. It's called The Last Leaf. It pictures an old, old man hobbling down the street. Little boys laughing.
Oh, how's it go?
I keep hearing those two last stanzas. I know it is a sin for me to sit and grin at him here, but the old three-cornered hat and the breeches and all that are so queer. And if I should live to be the last leaf upon the tree in the spring, let them smile, as I do now, at the old forsaken bough where I cling. Betty, my dear, you're asleep. Go on. Get back into that big double bed.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 14, Book 131, Sharon versus Penelope and vice versa. Frank Barton speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 47 national awards, now in its 27th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California.